I'm Lindsay Claiborne.
And I'm Mumu Shu, and you are listening to Beyond the Microscope.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Microscope. It's Lindsay and Mumu. Today, we have a new and exciting guest. We have Bettina Chen. She is the co-founder of Ruminate, which is a wire-building toy designed to get girls excited about STEM. Bettina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the obvious question. What is Ruminate? Tell us a little bit about what the product is and how you got into it.
Yeah, so Ruminate, it's an open-ended toy designed for girls age 6 and up. And it's a mix of building and circuits and crafts and storytelling. It really touches on all these different play patterns that girls really love. So with Ruminate, you can build all kinds of things. You could make a bridge with a light show. You could have a car wash with spinning brushes. You could have a rock stage with lights flashing and a spinning contraption on top. It's really up to what the girl wants to build. And it's great because it brings in the technology side where girls can actually wire up working circuits. So they can wire up a motor that actually spins, lights that turn on. New this year is an app where you can actually control all the circuits from your phone or your tablet. So it adds in a lot more capability to the toy.
And what age range is this geared for?
So we say 6 and up, really based on our experiences during testing, where we found that at age 6, girls were able to build with our toy independently, and that's really based on their fine motor skills. But we've had kids as young as 4 and 5 play with the toy. They just need a little more help from their parents. So it's really up to kind of the parent and the kid.
What made you decide to build this? I mean, obviously, it's sort of looking at it now, there's an obvious niche for it in the market, but what got you to come up with the idea and to put it in action?
Yeah, so it really came out of my co-founder Alice and my experiences as female engineers. My background is in electrical engineering and Alice is in mechanical engineering, so we made a toy that had building and circuits. But it was really for the two of us going through undergrad and into grad school, doing master's in engineering. We met at Stanford there in grad school. And for both of us, it was kind of a shock coming from undergrad from these very tech-focused schools and going to Stanford and seeing an additional drop-off of women in these fields. We kind of thought Stanford was this glorious place where everything would be magically evened out for some reason. But when you really look at people in these fields today, you really see how disproportionate the numbers are. So that got us starting to talk about why we had chosen engineering and what got us excited about it in college. And we found that we had shared experiences of toys we played with when we were younger that really inspired that love for building and tinkering and just got us excited about engineering in college. So for me, I play with my brothers, hand-me-down building toys. I really love Lego and Lincoln Logs. And it's really those experiences of getting to build with my hands and just seeing how fun it is and how creative you can be. That's really what got me excited about engineering.
That's actually interesting. Every single female engineer that I've interacted with, we've had that same discussion about toys. And everyone's played with Legos. Everyone's played with Lincoln Logs. I played with Kinects as a kid. So universal.
Hey man, I had Lego and Lincoln Logs, and I am not an engineer.
I wish I had more Kinects. I had like a few pieces I would try to make.
I love Kinects. Oh, so much. Okay.
Do you worry about, like, I know I get the sort of the value and the point of making it friendly for girls, but do you sort of want anyone to be able to play with it, or do you sort of really want it to be gender specific?
Yeah, so I mean, when we first started out, we tried to keep, and while we're still making more products, we try to keep it feeling somewhat gender neutral once it comes out of the package. The thing is, so when I first started out, we did Kickstarter. And when we did the Kickstarter, we had parents emailing us being like, oh, is it going to be really pink? Because I have a son who loves playing with dollhouses, and he doesn't like the really girly looking ones. So for us, we're really conscious about kind of the colors we introduced into our products. So our very first product that we released, the colors were teal, light blue, white, and orange. So it was pretty gender neutral. On the packaging, there wasn't specific to boys or girls on it. But as we started to grow our business, we saw that we really wanted to get this product out in front of as many girls as possible. And the best way to do that was to enter retail. And the thing with retail is there's different sections for boys' toys and girls' toys. So going into that, we had to kind of start to make the package more specific to girls. But at the same time, as we introduce more pieces, kind of themes to the kits, and just colors, we're really still trying to be careful about it, because we bring our product to events in the community, like after school programs, museum workshops, maker fair is a big one, and we have both boys and girls coming to those events and just to love playing with Ruminate. So I mean, when they're playing with a toy and someone doesn't say, oh, this is specifically kind of geared towards girls, I mean, the boys have fun with it as well. So it's kind of, it's hard because we want to be gender neutral, but it's hard to do that because of the way that stores market their products.
That would just make me angry. I don't know. Like, I just, as it is, if I ever buy like a friend a baby gift, I always go for something that could be, even if they've told me they're having a boy or a girl, I always go buy the green thing.
Yeah.
Just because it makes me angry.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I think, I mean, for us, hopefully in the future, that will change. And it's just challenging because as a small company, there's only so much you can do right now about it. And it's really kind of up to these bigger retailers and these bigger toy companies kind of changing how they market their products. But I think that'll take some time. And what I usually tell parents is when they're like, oh, what toy should I get for my kids? Like, well, look at both aisles and just see things that you think are cool or they might think is cool regardless of if it's in the boys or girls section.
Can we talk about working with Kickstarter and developing something like this on Kickstarter? What was that like? Was it harder or easier or stressful?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we went on Kickstarter, we had absolutely no idea what to expect, what would happen. I mean, neither of us had any experience with crowdfunding, and we just saw this as a great way to just get the word out about the product and get some funding so we could actually make the product. So when we first did, we should have strategized more about it, and really we just got lucky in a lot of ways. But when we launched our product, we launched it a few days before Maker Faire. And if you're not familiar with Maker Faire, it's this big DIY show where parents and kids come. There's a lot of hands-on things they can do. There's people that are selling cool products. And there's just a lot of stuff that they can learn there. So a lot of kids and parents come through at this time. So we had a booth there and we had our product there. And basically the kid would come into our booth and play with Ruminate, and then their parents couldn't get them to leave. So they get them to leave. They'd be like, look, I ordered the product on Kickstarter, so can we go and check out something else in the fair? So that's really how we first got some word out about our Kickstarter. And basically, I guess I don't really know how, but people would just email us and ask us if they could write about our story, because they just thought what we were doing was just really great. So for us, it was really great to see the response that we got with our Kickstarter, seeing that this really was a need in the U.S. that wasn't just because we were testing in the Bay Area, that really people across the U.S., across the world, really saw that this was important.
And then how much money did you guys raise from your Kickstarter?
So our goal was $25,000. We hit it by the fifth day, and we ended up raising $86,000 by the end of the 30 days. So it was a lot more than we expected. And our original plan for how we were going to make the product changed a lot because of that. So we had a lot of redesign to do after that. But basically, that helped us make the product even better.
And then, okay, so now that, all right, so now you guys raised $80,000-something. What happened next?
So first we did redesign on the product, because originally we were going to make the product out of wood, and we were going to laser cut all the wood ourselves. We were going to solder all the circuits ourselves, and we had sold a few thousand kits. So we're like, okay, well, now that's kind of out of the question. We need to actually design this for manufacturing and figure out how to get this manufactured. So we did a lot of redesign. We switched the material to plastic because it's a lot more durable and would last a lot longer, because we really wanted kids to be able to build with it, take it apart, build with it again. So after we did the redesign, which was over the summer, then we started doing a lot of research into manufacturing. And we basically went out across the U.S. and just cold called a bunch of manufacturers and just learned a lot about the manufacturing process and got quotes from them and just tried to figure out what made sense there. And the problem was, in the U.S., the resources really weren't in place to make products at a price that made sense for us. So we had to look overseas. Luckily for us, we had mentor of a mentor who had worked at Mattel as vice president of manufacturing there for 20 some years. So he had a lot of experience and a huge network. And he introduced us to a couple factories out in southern China. And we went out there, saw the factory, and basically that's how it all got started.
It sounds like a lot of actual steps. I mean, did you learn, did you know what to do along the way? Or was it sort of like, let's figure this out?
It was mostly just figuring it out. The good thing was Alice, she had taken a class in undergrad where she had done some injection molding, which is how the plastic pieces are made. That's how a lot of toy products are made. So we at least knew that our pieces weren't complicated to make doing that. So that was at least helpful to have that information. But I mean, the rest we just kind of figured out as we went.
Can you tell us a little bit about your Shark Tank experience?
So, yeah, my Shark Tank experience was a lot of fun looking back on it. I think, so when we did our Kickstarter, we'd actually been reached out by one of the producers of Shark Tank to go on. And I'm very glad that we chose not to do that then. Otherwise, we would have gotten destroyed on the show. But basically, it was a couple years later that another producer reached out, and at that time we were kind of looking to raise a little bit of money. So we were like, well, this would be a good opportunity to present to the Sharks because they have a lot of experience in areas that we don't. So we applied, and there's a lot of steps to get through, but eventually we got to the point where we got to present to the Sharks, and it was a fun experience for us. To prepare, we basically watched a ton of episodes and just kind of learned the questions that they would usually ask, the responses they liked or they didn't like, and just practiced a lot on the Q&A, just made sure that we knew our numbers, we knew our answers, we weren't trying to hide anything, we were just sharp with everything. So I think that preparation really helped us be successful.
So what comes out of that? I mean, if for those of us who haven't seen the episode or whatever, what does that mean? Like, if you win or whatever, what happens next?
So we closed with Mark, and we've been working with him since, and he's just been really helpful. I mean, we communicate with him weekly, and he always has great advice for us. He has a whole team behind him that helps in all kinds of things, from sales to financials to marketing. So that was something that we didn't expect. But it was really great to have that resource. And I mean, just getting our product out there in front of so many eyes, that was a huge help for us. And we actually had a Shark Tank update aired earlier this season. So that was exciting.
That's cool. I just sort of like, it's like taking the current media market and the media world to the best ability, right? I mean, you're taking advantage of an opportunity to get what you wouldn't have otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's made a huge difference for our business.
Do you miss... or maybe I'm mistaking this in the first place, but do you miss doing actual engineering, or is this running this company allow you to do it also?
Yes, I miss it. It's very different. It's not what I expected to be doing, but it's something that we're just both so passionate about doing, about just getting more girls into these fields, because there's just so much cool stuff happening. And it's really the world's missing out by not having more women in these fields. So because of that, I think while I might not get to always do the stuff that I want to do, everything is just as important that needs to get done. So I mean, you do it because that's what it takes to make a business.
So you touched on this a little bit earlier in the episode where, you know, you and Alice were talking about what were the reasons for women leaving engineering. What are some of the reasons that you think are the reasons?
So I think there's a lot of factors that play into this. For us, we kind of saw toys as the very beginning part to this experience, where we really saw getting to them early and getting them exposed to these concepts and these experiences. That was really the starting point of what would get them excited about engineering. But even after that, there's a lot of obstacles. I mean, when you're going through school, you're going to be facing a lot of classmates that are saying things that are like, you shouldn't be doing math and science. So I think after that, what's really important is having having people out there that you can look up to that are in these positions, because I think that really helps girls see that that's something they can achieve. So being able to see that there are other women working in engineering, or other women having leadership roles, or other women who are mathematicians or physicists, I think all of that really helps them to be excited to see that there is a future for them there.
What are some of the best responses or most memorable responses you've gotten from some of the girls who've been playing with your toy? Do you have any that sort of like stick in your heart?
Well, there's a lot of instances, but I think it's always really exciting for us. It's the first time when a girl plays with Ruminate and she figures out how to put the motor together, and she figures out how to put something spinning on there. Just seeing the way that their eyes light up and just how excited they get, how they run around, show their friends what they made, they show their parents. We have like endless videos of kids doing this, and it's just such an empowering moment for them to actually have made something themselves that moves. So that's always really exciting to see. But I think the best part for us is seeing all the really cool creations that girls come up with. When we first started out, we started it as a dollhouse because we were like, well, girls like playing with dollhouses. This is what we saw in people's homes when we were doing testing, and it made sense to us. But even when we released our first product, girls were already making things that were beyond dollhouses. Like, we had the Golden Gate Bridge with the light show. We had the car wash. We had a girl that make a rocket ship, which was just amazing. It was actually funny because the week before, we were trying to think of some new product ideas, and we're like, oh, a rocket ship would be really cool and be a really aspirational career for girls to aspire to be. So trying to figure out how to make a rocket ship with our pieces, and we couldn't figure it out. And then a week later, we get this video from a girl who made her own rocket ship out of our pieces, and we're just like, these kids are so much smarter than us. So, I mean, for us, we're just always trying to come up with adding cooler things to the product that girls can build with, and just to amaze us more with their creativity.
What are the sort of next steps or plans for expansion?
So we just released the app, which is a really exciting addition to the technology side. Now that we've added this, we can do a lot more with the circuits. We can do more complex things there. We can add in sensors. We want to bring in programming in the near future. So those are kind of the things that we're looking at right now.
Do you have users or kids sort of sending suggestions? Like, oh, I really wish there was this to do, or there was this to do, or something?
Yeah, we get a lot of that. And I think also for us, we really enjoy getting out into the community and just bringing our toy with us and playing with girls. Because, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to see the cool things they come up with. And at the same time, we can see how we can make the product better, or the cool things we can add to it to make the experience even more exciting for them.
What is a typical day like for you, if there is such thing as a typical day?
I feel like each day I have an endless to-do list that constantly gets shuffled around depending on what the priority is. And usually there's some pressing thing that comes up during the day that I have to take care of. I don't know. I guess it really ranges. Actually, surprisingly, I'm in a lot of phone calls and meetings, which is frustrating because you can't get very much work done. It was funny because we had interns here over the summer. And I was talking to one of them, and I was like, oh, would you want to start your own business? And she's like, oh, no, you guys are always just in meetings all day. It doesn't sound very fun.
You're like, no, don't say that.
And when she said that, I was like, actually, she has a really good point. We really are in meetings a lot. And I, like, never really realized that.
It sounds like my life.
Yeah. Do you ever have days that you just want to sit and play with the toy itself? Like, you're like,
yeah,
this meeting nonsense. I just want to play. I just want to build things. Like, I don't understand why I can't do that.
Yeah, it's hard because there's always that endless to-do list. But when there is time, I just need like a break on my brain. I'll do that. And it's always fine because it's always like, oh, there's this other cool thing we can do with these pieces.
So do you give instructions or do you sort of give suggestions? I mean, obviously people can do whatever they want. But is it like Lego where you buy the like rocket ship set and it has all the pieces to make the end result? Or is it sort of like, you can do these things with this? How exactly do you split that up?
It's kind of a mix of the two. So from the very, very beginning, we made it really open-ended, and actually it was a challenge for us trying to figure out how to give enough instruction to the kids so that they knew how to use the pieces without being really specific about what they would build with the product. So when we figured that out, our first kits are pretty open-ended. As we've started to grow out our product line, we learned that originally we were like, oh, we'll just make this one kit and parents will buy numerous numbers of this one kit because that'll just make them grow their collection and they can build even bigger things. But I mean, for kids, they don't want to get a product that looks the same from the outside, regardless of the fact that they can just take the pieces, dump them out, and make something different with it. So we had to figure out a way to kind of make more products for our customers. So what we did actually recently this past year is we introduced themed kits that kind of give more direction in terms of what you can build. So we have an amusement park kit where you can build a Ferris wheel, you can make a merry-go-round. We give ideas for other things you can build, like a pirate ship, you can have concession stands. So in these kits, there is more direction. We kind of give some directions about how to build something, but also show a lot of ideas of other things you can build with it.
Is there anything in this whole process that's really surprised you, whether it's how successful it has been or how far you've come or how hard it's been, any range of it, but is there something that sort of stands out?
I think it's two things. One is it's really hard. I mean, people said that was going to be really hard. I went to Caltech and that was really hard, and I thought that was going to be the hardest thing I've done. But I think this is pretty close to that, if not harder. And the second thing is just, I think it's been a great surprise to us just to see how creative all the girls are with Ruminate. Just seeing the really amazing ideas that they come up with. I mean, earlier this year, we got a girl that made a homeless shelter with a soup kitchen. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it just touches my heart seeing that this is what girls are thinking about and this is what they're making with their toy. So I think that's been another surprising thing.
So if I want to buy a set for Christmas or Hanukkah for myself,
for yourself.
Yeah, I don't know any children. It's just for myself.
You are over the age of six. It's acceptable.
Hey, it's fun for all ages. Even boys our age like playing with it.
How much would it cost, and where can I buy it?
So our kits range from $19.99 to $49.99, and you can buy them on our website, ruminatetoy.com, or on Amazon, Toys R Us, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, specialty stores. If you go to our website, we have a store locator, so you can find a store near you if you'd prefer to do that.
Do you ever just go into the stores to see if you can spot it on a shelf?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Toys around, so it's
good for scouting and also kind of understanding what retailers do.
Because I would do that. I'd be like, oh, look, there it is.
And then I feel really awkward if, like, someone's coming by. I'm like, oh, gosh, don't look at the package. Because so on the package, we have, like, faces on there because we're like, oh,
no.
Because we want girls to send us pictures of what they make. So we're like, send us what you build. And sometimes I'm like, okay, don't look at the packaging too close because I'm standing right here and I don't want you to recognize me.
I have a feeling people, like, just, that would be too weird of a coincidence to, like, make that connection, right?
Well, it hasn't happened yet, though. So it's okay.
Obviously, you're not camping out long enough next to your displays.
Ooh, there's a Mega Metropolis bundle. I'm really tempted.
I'm really tempted to buy it.
I need it for my lab.
All right, well, when you of make course. Something, you should send us a picture of what you built.
We should have an official Scope podcast, Ruminate Construction.
Ooh, I like it. I like
See,
it.
Mom?
I'll set it right next to my drone.
Now you need to make a flying one.
Actually, yeah. Can you guys make a flying one?
We've been thinking of it.
Well, see, Momo, look. You're ahead of the curve on this. All right, Bettina, I think I am more than amused. I want to go play with my old Lincoln logs now. but thank you so much for joining us and for talking about Ruminate and all the trials and tribulations to get this out to a lot of girls. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for what you guys do.
Like our show? Find us on iTunes or at scopepodcast.com and follow us online on Facebook and Twitter at Scope Podcast. This is Moo Moo Shu
and Lindsay Claiborne.
Our theme music was composed by The Copycats. Thanks for listening.